A lot of unhappy, or probably a better way to put it, disappointed people today.
Including me, yes. I'm a two-time loser, so unless I'm lucky enough to snag one of the 3,200 that are left, which is a tall order with 40,000 people buying for them, this will be the first year since 1984 that I haven't been able to go deer hunting in North Dakota.
Well, and I've been telling people that this shouldn't surprise them. Game and Fish made it perfectly clear they were cutting down on licenses. When I found out I got a doe tag, and I've never been happy about a doe tag. Nobody jumps up and down about a doe tag, but the truth is, I felt kind of lucky, Randy.
Absolutely. And we have, over the last 3 years, cut doe tags dramatically by, I don't know, like 40,000 or more, and in an effort to try to rebuild the population. And we're starting to see that in places across the state. We're starting to see a little uptick, but we need to keep licenses low in order to get it back higher up to where we can meet the demand of people who are interested in hunting.
Now, the surveys put this to the point where you knew you had to reduce the numbers. Are we seeing it come back? Are we seeing the trends go the right way so that we can get back up to some of those higher numbers? Or where are we at in all this?
We are seeing an uptick. Our winter aerial surveys showed either stable to slight increases in places across the state. And our hunter harvest percentages have gone up a little bit, and that's what we wanted to see. But the thing that worries us the most, Joel, is the habitat loss that's going on across the landscape. From east to west, there's all sorts of pressures on wildlife habitat that may impact and that will impact the ability of the deer population to rebound. And so we got to watch that real close and try to keep working with people and try to keep habitat on the landscape.
So in other words, $8 corn did you in.
$8 corn isn't helping. With a farm bill that doesn't give those landowners who are interested in having part of their operation in a conservation program non-equitable payment doesn't help at all either. And, you know, these tight budget times at the federal government level is affecting deer hunting in North Dakota. And so we've always lobbied real hard for a farm bill that includes conservation provisions for those landowners who are interested in doing conservation on their property and paying them something that's, we hear from landowners all the time, it doesn't have to be cash rental rate. It just has to be something close, because you can't blame people for the prices they're getting for beans and corn and that kind of stuff. And so we're going to keep working on that front, and hopefully we can get some moderation back there.
Well, and that's just the reality. These people are, they can run numbers as well as you and I can, and they're business people. They got to make a living. And
that's
CRP
exactly right.
Was a good thing if you're an outdoors man or woman. I mean, if you love being in the outdoors, if you love hunting, CRP was a big gift from above, wasn't it, Randy?
For 25 years, it was what provided the opportunity to have record pheasant hunting population, record pheasant populations, record deer populations, and waterfowl populations. People, sometimes when things start to change, it happens incrementally and people miss it. Do you realize that since 2008, we've had a 30% decline in pheasant harvest?
Yeah. Well, when you got record numbers, nobody really notices, because we still shot a lot of birds last year.
That's exactly right. People shot a lot of birds, but it was 30% less than 2008, and it's going to be less again this year with the cold spring we had and the more lost nesting habitat. So this thing all kind of runs together. You're right. We had 25 years of a good run with good conservation provisions in the Farm Bill, and we need to work with our congressional delegation and the and Congress to give those landowners who want to do conservation at least an equitable opportunity to do so, because we hear from them all the time. Gee, if they only had a program that was close to this, I'd do it, because I know this piece of property shouldn't probably ever been farmed anyway, but with $8 corn and beans where they are, even if it's poor property, they're making money off it.
Yeah. Right now, everybody's mad at me for saying the words $8 corn when I know it's not at $8, but there was a time when everybody was debating whether to take that land out of CRP or whether to put it back into production, where that mattered. I mean, it really did. Randy,
Randy. We all know that these prices aren't going to stay this way. I mean, history repeats itself. And
yeah,
farm commodity prices are always not going to stay high, and there'll be a demand someday for some set-aside acres, if you will, and that would might be in the form of conservation.
Yeah. Randy, when you look at, you know, a situation like yesterday where a lot of people leave disappointed, a lot of people don't get that deer license and have that tradition that they've had for many, many years, you know, you're going to get some phone calls. Did that start on your folks yesterday?
It started 15 minutes after the news release went out. And as I drove to Fargo yesterday, my email is synced to my phone, and it was constant. It just lit up, and I spent most of the morning this morning helping try to respond to some people that were had questions. And, you know, they want to talk about the one-buck concept. Is it time for that? And everybody wants to change the lottery so it works better for them. Everybody's got a different idea how the lottery would work best, and so yeah. We have that going on. You know, people had glitches. They typed in the wrong unit or their wrong Social Security number and those kinds of things. And then there are people that are just plain mad because they couldn't get a license. And, well, I'm not very happy either. I mean, like I said, this will be the first time since 1984 I can't go deer hunting. And so, but at the same time, that's the reality. And you're right. We've told people for the last couple of years, in order to build a population, we're going to have to cut back license numbers.
How much do you weigh into the factor, people like Chico, who got a buck license again this year, but he can't hit a deer with a bass fiddle? I mean, do you take into account people that aren't that good of hunters?
Yeah. Well, how would you define who's a good hunter? How would we do that? On the application, can you hit the broadside of a barn with a shotgun? Now, I mean, there's really no way to means test, if you will, people who apply for licenses. And there's a lot of people that think they're a lot better shot than they really are, and they think they're better hunters than the next guy. There's just no way to do that. I mean, it should be equal opportunity for anybody. So what if you're a bad shot? If you like enjoying the outdoors and you want to spend time with your family, you shouldn't be penalized for that.
Randy, do you mind taking some phone calls on your drive back?
No, my wife is doing the duty of driving, and I'd be happy to help.
Dennis, quick question for Randy, please.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Go ahead, Dennis.
First of all, I'd like to say, Randy, that I think North Dakota Game and Fish does a fantastic job, and you do a fantastic job, and it is what it is. I mean, you got to do what it takes to take care of the herd. My question is, I've never applied for a license before. I'm 53 years old. This is the very first time I've ever applied, so I kind of didn't think I was going to get one. But there is another unit that I can go to that has license available. How do I do that?
What will happen is you'll be just like me. The people that were unsuccessful in the first lottery for their first and second and third and fourth choices will get a letter in the mail, an application in the mail that will allow them the opportunity to apply for one of these other licenses in a different unit. The only people that will be allowed to apply for those are the 44,000 people who were unsuccessful. If you did not apply in the first lottery, you won't get an opportunity to apply for those. Last year we had the same situation, and basically, they all went, and as we would expect that to go this year too, where people will go explore different places and try to get one of those other 3,200 licenses that remain. So you'll get something in the mail from us, and I think the deadline is sometime in August for the application. I saw the draft application before it went to the printers yesterday, but I don't remember the exact date. But you'll get a direct correspondence from us.
Okay. Your odds are low, and they're going to go quick. Let's take another caller here. Caller, you're on with Randy Crow. Go ahead.
I got a question on the lottery points. For the last 5 to 6 years, three of us have put in for mule deer buck out west. We didn't, of course, get it this year. But on the computer, it shows I only have 3 preference points, and the other 2 have 0.
Well, did all of you when you applied this time have exactly the same number of points?
I believe we have. My son and I for sure had, and the other guy has been putting in with us too for at least 5 years straight.
Well, you need to double. That's the first thing you need to double check, because the points that you'll be used in the lottery will be the lowest number, so people don't go cherry picking their unlucky friends to join up and as a hunting party. The other thing is, if you have a question about your preference points and you don't think they're right, you can get a hold of our licensing division. They can double-check.
Okay.
What happened? This happened to me yesterday when I got my results. It showed me that I had 0 preference points because I hunt the Badlands, You get 4D. I hope that's not what you were applying.
Nope, 4B.
That's good. Stay north of the interstate, I'll stay south.
Yep.
But my mind came out 02, and I went, well, that's not right. And
right.
So we double-checked, and when my buddy Craig Burley typed in our application, he mistyped my Social Security number. And
okay.
So what they'll do is, if you apply electronically, those things are easy to fix and
okay.
easy to find. We found it right away. And that was the reason, and so they restored my points to where they should be.
Okay.
So
okay.
Over, like,
thanks for calling.
Call.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Randy. Where does he call?
For Randy Meisner.
Randy.
Randy.
Randy,
Randy
Meisner. Meisner is. Yep. And he can help you
okay.
double check the status of your preference points.
Okay,
okay.
Very good. Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it, Randy. You know, this is. It's such a passionate issue for people. You know that, and I know that. I mean, how
yep.
do you deal with the emotional side of it when people call in and they're like, I mean, they basically
they want,
pattern
they
their whole
fired,
fall
you mean?
After it. Yeah, I mean, they're just
they
mad.
Fired,
how do you
yeah.
deal with it? Yeah.
Well, here's how I mentally deal with it. I mentally deal with it is that tells me that people really care about what's important in the tradition of hunting in this state. And you just got to keep that in mind. They're disappointed. They're passionate. They're upset. But the reason they are is because they care and they enjoy hunting and they value the outdoors and they value wildlife. And in the end, that's positive. And the more passionate people are about it, the more they'll speak up for defending what we need to keep it on the landscape, which is habitat and good management programs. And so we saw it this year in the legislature. We went in for our first increase in 30 years as a department because our revenues were declining for all kinds of reasons, and we never had one single person testify against it in any legislative hearing.
Yeah.
In fact, everybody was supportive, and we even had senators come up to us and said, we don't think you're asking for enough. And so that tells us that support for conservation is there, and then when people are mad they didn't get a deer license, that's all that means. Yeah, they're mad, they're disappointed. But at the end of the bottom line, and the most important thing is they care, and that makes us feel actually good.
Let's get Justin on with Randy Crow. Go ahead, Justin.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to get a little off subject here, but I'm a goose hunter also. I got a knife for my deer tag, but how does this early goose season work with the additional tag? They said you have to apply for an early goose season tag now.
Right. You can get one online from us. What happened during the last legislative session, the legislature had asked us how many people are participating in the early goose season and how many they're harvesting. And we said, we don't have a clue because there's no special license for it. Can't find them in the survey. So the legislature had non-residents have to buy a $50 license, just like the spring snow goose license. And then they said that I was at the podium when Chairman Porter asked the question, can
10
you
seconds,
how many
Randy.
Residents participated? And I said, no. He said, well, let's add a $5 license for that so we can track that too. And that's where that came from.
All right. Randy, love you sharing time like this. Have a safe drive back to Bismarck, bud. Thanks for coming on.